makes you feel like you should go to the bathroom. And if you're listening online, that's the first statement that I'm making online in this message. Yeah. The bathrooms are down the steps if you need to use them. That is the coolest picture, isn't it? It doesn't have sound, and the reason is because you can't do sound in slow motion in the same kind of effective way. That's what I was told. So instead, you get a high-resolution kind of a thing. We could do sound in the background and kind of hum a song. We won't do that, however. If this were a cup that measured the hope that you have in your life right now, if this were that cup that measured the hope that you have in your life right now, how full would you make it? How full would you, if you were to take water and say, okay, this is how this is going to work. I'm going to fill this up with the amount of hope that is identified in my heart right now. Some of you are there. Some, maybe you get up to here. Then others, what is this, by the way? Is it half full or half empty? It's like, I don't even know, you know. For some of you, you're looking at your life right now with the amount of hope that you have, and you're not sure if you're half full or half empty right now. And then others, you're like, well, I'm having a really good day. I woke up good. I had a good night's sleep, you know, and it seems like everybody's happy this morning, and this is good. And I did appreciate the songs, though. I'm pretty good, and the preacher's talking, and I think I'm engaged in this message. I do have to kind of go to the bathroom, and all this water talk is bothering me. So hopefully he's fast. I don't know. Maybe you're there, but maybe not all the way. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your notes out. And I want to ask you a question that I'd like for you to think about and answer. You ready? You've come to think this morning, yes? Okay, good. Some of you have not, and I'm sorry for that. You'll be needing to think now. What would it take? What would it take if you look at your glass that you have filled up with hope to some degree? What would it take for you to have a glass that's overflowing with hope? Jot down. Now, you may not want to put the actual words, names, or whatever is kind of going on, because the people around you might be like, oh, wow, really, they got issues. We all have issues, amen? This is the church that has issues with people that have issues, but we have a God that doesn't. So that's kind of why we come. Now, here's what I want you to do. Maybe put some initials, not of names, like initials of things that you'd say, this is what it would take to fill me to overflowing with hope. Write that down, because you're going to need this for the end of the message. I want to talk about this, and by the end of the message, we're going to come back to this. What is it in your life that you'd say, I would like to have this? This is what it would take for me to be overflowing with hope. And sometimes what it takes to figure that out is, if I were to ask you the opposite kind of a question, what is it that makes you feel hopeless or without hope? What is it that gets you down? And by doing that, you're saying, okay, this part here that's not full in my life of hope, this part here, it's not full because of this relationship issue, because of this financial, because of this pressure over here, because of this stress, whatever it might be, and you're like, this is pushing me down to this point where I don't quite have it together here, but if I had this, then I would be overflowing. Now, I don't want to spill it on the ground. I'm trying to avoid that. There's one statement that I want to concentrate on this morning that brings overflowing hope. It's a very simple statement. It's a statement that's easy to say. It's a statement that carries a four-letter word that has been used carelessly by all. But when used carefully, it can make such a deep impact on a person, a community, or a nation. This statement can build a strong connection with God, even. Could you imagine hope that's overflowing? Could you imagine one statement having such a deep impact on you that your hope would be overflowing? Could you imagine coming in this morning and being like, man, my hope is just overflowing. I'm overwhelmed. This is awesome. And you're excited. And we start singing Who Can Satisfy. And we sing some other songs. And you're in the back like, woohoo, I'm so excited. I'm overflowing. Could you imagine this? Be getting Baptist on us, right? Wouldn't be sure what's going on here. They're excited. Are we allowed to be excited like that? What would it feel like? Just imagine. Go with me off to this idealistic la-la land just for a moment. What would it feel like to be overwhelmed with hope? Do you know that God wants you to have hope? You catch that? God wants you to have hope. Did you get that yet? God wants you to have hope. I don't think you got it. God wants you to have hope. Did you get it yet? Say the person next to you, I don't think you got it. So you tell each other this. Say the person next to you, God wants you to have hope. Some of you are just staring at me. Come on, you can say this. God wants you to have hope. You're not getting it. God wants you to have hope. Hope that's overflowing. Not hope that's half empty. Not hope that's occasionally here and there. God wants you to have overflowing, just overwhelming hope. And here it is. The one statement that brings overflowing hope is, I can't tell you that. I just can't. See, Paul shares this statement that has this huge, incredible importance to it. It's the magnitude, the depth of it is just incredible. So it's in Romans chapter 5. I'm not ready to share this statement with you. I don't think you're going to take it seriously. I think you're just going to be like, I'll pass it off, whatever. Romans chapter 5, you ready? You there with me? If you're there with me, say amen. All right, good. Romans chapter 5. Let's read through verses 1 through verse 11. Let's see if you can figure out this phrase. You ready? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the see the hope? See that? Of the glory of God. Now only that, or not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. When's the last time you're happy about suffering? Mm-hmm. When you're suffering, is your hope overflowing? It's half empty. It's like almost gone. I'm parched, right? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. For real? Yep. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will scarcely die for the righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Did you catch the statement yet? It's one statement that this can bring overflowing hope to your life. I want to share that statement with you, but I'll be honest, I'm very hesitant. Here's why I'm hesitant. You ready? You ready? Okay, just making sure. Here's why I'm hesitant. Because you've heard it before. You've heard it before. And here's what happens. Look, I'm no different. I'm no different. And you do this too. When I've heard something before, what do I do? What's this? John, you said it. Yeah, I'm done. Like, I have an attention span of a squirrel. You right? Almost hit a squirrel this morning on the way in. It was terrible. I went all over the place, I don't think we hit it, but I couldn't find it afterwards, so I think we're all right. But anyway, like, we have an attention span of a squirrel. And if I know that what you're about to say is a rerun, how many of you like reruns? Like a few of you, right? Some of you are like, yeah, reruns of MASH. Remember those days? I would watch or reruns of whatever. And we watch reruns. But sometimes, listen, if you know the preacher's doing a rerun, here's what we do. Oh, man. I heard this one before. Taking a nap. I'll keep my eyes open, though. I mean, ladies, you're a lady's life, so you're tired. And you had a great weekend, so you're like, I definitely have ample reason to take a nap right now, right? It's a rerun. Said it before. He'll say it again, I'm sure. You ever watch a movie the second time and it was better than the first? You ever do that? You ever watch it like three or four? Okay, when I was growing up, the movie to watch, now you know a bit about me. We didn't have a TV in our home growing up most times. My dad didn't care for TVs because if we watched TV too long, he got irritated, and he at one point threw a log through one of the TVs. It was the coolest thing ever, you know, but it was a rough day, but yeah, it was fun after that, and we get to tell stories about it and give him a hard time still. And there was times, I mean, while we were watching TV, he came up with tin snips and literally cut the wire while the TV was going. It was cool. It was like fireworks in the living room. It was awesome. So we didn't watch a lot of TV, but here's what I did do. I went to friend's house to watch TV. You follow me? Okay, so they had a TV, and on Sunday afternoons, there was one place I loved to go, because here's what we do. We played on an old Apple. We played Minor 2049er. You know what that is? How many know what Minor 2049er? Okay, that's the true geeks. Awesome. We're there. And you might still have a version of that that's kind of like Minecraft update. Anyway, so I played that, and sort of like Donkey Kong, but not really. But anyway, so I played that, but then we watched this movie, Superman. Oh, yeah. I watched Superman like a bazillion times. On Sunday afternoon, we go, and I'll be like, oh, let's watch Superman again. And they must have been sick of me watching Superman, but it didn't matter to me. Like, every time I got to go over there, what do you want to do? I want to watch Superman. Yeah. It gets better with time, right? You know, you watch, and you're like, I totally miss that spot. You ever do that in a movie? You're like, oh, man, I missed that spot. I can't believe it. How did I ever miss that? Or sometimes you're watching, you're like, oh, this is how it fits. Listen, this morning, this might be a rerun for you, but let me tell you, it gets better the second time. It gets better the third time. You've missed some things that today you need to hear them. You ready? So now you know, don't turn it down, don't turn it off, don't shut it down, don't take a nap. Right? Okay, turn to the person next to you, say, I need this rerun. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead. All right, we're done talking to each other now. In verse 5, you know what the phrase is? It's in verse 5, you ready? He says, and hope does not put us to shame. Why? How can we have hope? How do we have overflowing hope? Here's how. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here it is. You ready? God loves you. Come on now. Come on. God loves you. Come on, really? That's all you got this morning? The reason that we can have overflowing hope is that God loves you. The reason why we can take this class and we can come in, no matter if we're going through a hard time, no matter if our physical life isn't going so well, no matter if our emotional, our relationship, or our money, or whatever it might be, the reason why we can have overflowing hope that just is poured out and poured out and poured out, the reason why we can have that is because God loves us. Man, there's nothing better than that. There's absolutely nothing. There's no greater statement than that. We've watched this video before. That's My King. I love that video. I thought about showing it this morning, but I think I've shown it too many times. It's a good video where he talks about My King is the eternal King. He is the holy King. He is the one that's always right. He is the one that's in charge of everything. He's the sustainer. That's My King. He's the creator. And you go and you praise God and all the attributes that you think about God. Think about how high and awesome God is. God loves me. God loves you. If you've gotten over that and this is just a rerun, then wake up, because this is not a rerun that you can just dismiss. This is what you need in order to have hope today. Yesterday, my wife was telling me how she went out to lunch with the president of Summit University and his wife. That's really cool. I mean, she is that special. That was cool. Not like in a bad way, not that special. But like the right special. Man, I just lost points there. So anyway, earlier, I think it was this week, the Villanova basketball team and Jay Wright got to go to visit who? The President of the United States. That's cool. I mean, really? I mean, who wouldn't go for that? Better than that. Better than that. Way better than that. Is that God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the King of the universe, the one who put all this stuff in order. You know how big the earth is? In comparison to the sun, you know how big the earth is? I was watching this video this week. It's really cool. This guy gave a demonstration of this. If you take the earth and you put that into golf ball size, okay, so golf ball in your hand, you ready? And you make that a golf ball size, you know how big the sun is compared to that? You take those golf balls and you fill a bus with it, with golf balls. That's how big the sun is. It's like way huger than that. And then you go out from there and you see more and more stars. You see how big the universe. If the universe is that big, how big is God? Is he bigger than the president of a university? Is he bigger than the president of the United States? Is he bigger than every world leader on this planet? And he loves you. I'll tell you what, I've heard that so many times that it just gets old. Have you been there? It just kind of gets old and empty, like, yeah, I know. I mean, we sang that Jesus Loves Me song. I sang that as a kid. I know all about that. I've seen posters, Jesus loves me, God loves me, whatever, I get all that. No. The Creator, the Sustainer, the one who's in charge of anything, the one that's way bigger than the universe itself, loves you and me. When we get a hold of that, our cup is overflowing. Wonder why? Because, just to illustrate this a little bit, if you were going to meet with the president of the university, if you were going to meet with the president of the United States, or you select the individual that you say is really just special and a great occasion, if you were meeting with that individual, it would change your day. If you had a flat tire in the morning prior to meeting with them for lunch, you would be like, oh, well, I'm meeting with the president. If you had a rough morning and things didn't go the way and somebody was mean to you and this thing happened to you and things were kind of messed up a little bit, if that happened to you, but later on in the day you knew you were meeting with this person, all of that would be characterized as smaller and less significant than this one meeting that you have over here. Would you agree? You won't let this hold you down from this meeting over here. You won't let this just take your day and say, oh, man. Could you imagine going into the president's office and say, hey, great to see you. And you say, man, oh, man, you have no idea how bad my day was. Could you imagine this? You seem really down. Yeah, I am. I had a flat tire this morning. Really? Like, really? When we have the proper perspective of who God is and the fact that God loves us, all of the things that happened previous and around us, all the circumstances are then minimized only because, not because they're not significant, but because He is that significant, because His love for us is that tremendous and mighty and huge, that all of these things, they are then taken and put into a different place and position. Now I'm looking at this, and my discomfort, my frustration, my stress, and all the things, the circumstantial things that I have a different desired outcome for. Now I'm looking at all of that and saying, well, but God loves me. My life's not going right, but God loves me. Things aren't going the way I expect, but God loves me. My marriage isn't quite, but God loves me. My finances aren't, but God loves me. All of that is changed in view of God's love for me. Do you see it? So, here's what he says. Here's the extent. I want to give that to you because here's what I'm concerned about this morning. Like, you kind of halfway get this. You get the theological implications and understanding of this and the lessons like, okay, that's fine and dandy and everything, but you don't get the extent of this yet. So your cup is only half full of hope or half empty, however you want to look at it. So I want to fill it up this morning. So in verse 6, he says, for, you remember God's love is being poured out where? Into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit. For, while we were still weak, we were weak. How many of you like to be weak? My 6-year-old son doesn't like to be weak. He tries to pick things up to prove how strong he is. This word weak is not simply just weak in a sense of, man, I'm feeling tired and I can't quite lift this up. The word weak, literally, that Paul is using here as he's communicating this to us, it's communicating a helplessness. It's that I'm paralyzed from the neck down. That all I can do is hardly talk. I can't move my limbs. I can't get myself anywhere. I can't even take myself to the bathroom. I can't feed myself. I can't do any of that stuff. I am that helpless. I've got nothing. He says, when we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. What made us weak? The fact that we're ungodly. What's ungodly mean? Okay, let's think about what it is to be God. Okay? To be God, you have to be able to create something out of nothing. To be God, you have to be able to steer everything that's happening in the earth and be able to have a comprehension of how to do things that are right for your perfect will. To be God, you have to be absolutely perfect, never make a single mistake. How many of you have done that? Like, never made a mistake? Anybody? So here's what you are. You don't identify with God. You are now ungodly. Yes? We're not the same as God. We're ungodly. Some of you may have been ungodly this morning, or ungodly last night, or ungodly 3 days ago. You carry with you ungodly things that you have done, or are currently doing even. It says, God's love then is extended to the weak, the helpless, the needy. God's love extended to the ungodly. That's who Christ died for. In verse 7, he describes that a little bit further. He says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Listen, you find somebody that's really nice and kind, the best person, like best friend ever, you might die for them. You might give a kidney up for them. You might give something up, but man, it would be really hard to give up everything for them, to give your life up for them. He says, though for perhaps a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us Here's what he does. He shows his love for us. He demonstrates it in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean up. He didn't wait for us to do something right. He wasn't sitting around saying, well, I'm going to show my love to you. I'll pour out my love to you when you finally stop saying or stop doing or stop thinking that. He says, I love you prior to you doing anything right. As a matter of fact, you are helpless and ungodly. That's a lot of love. Would you agree? You ever been around somebody you don't like to love? You might be sitting right next to them right now. I understand. You know, we'll pray for you there. Here, God absolutely loves us when we are weak, helpless, ungodly sinners, and we deserve no love. And he says, but I love you. That's the extent of God's love. Do you know that there's no other God that loves like this? No other religious system that even talks like this. Allah doesn't love. He demands loyalty in order to be loved. Karma doesn't love. It demands good in order to receive good. Muhammad doesn't love. He demands as well. And you go right down through and you see God after God or system after system that says, you know what, there's no love here. You have to prove it. You've got to be good enough. You've got to get yourself up to this level, and then you're going to have love. Here's what God says. God says, the true and only God says, I love you prior to you doing anything right. I love you when you've totally blown it, when you're just helpless, you're ungodly, you're a sinful person, and I love you this much. I'm demonstrating this love to you. In that, I'm sending my one and only Son to pay for your sin. That's a lot of love. So, if your glass is half full because you're a weak, ungodly sinner, let God fill it up with his love for you. You ever feel like you don't deserve God's love? I feel that all the time. The fact that I have the opportunity and privilege to serve God in the way that I get to is humbling. Do you get it? The fact that we get to come to this place to worship God together is humbling. Think about it. We didn't deserve this. We caused the flat tire. We didn't check the engine light and it broke down. We said things we shouldn't have said. We did things we shouldn't have done. We thought thoughts that we shouldn't have been thinking. And God said, I love you. And I knew all about that. The psalmist in Psalm 139 talks about this, about how his relationship is with God. And he says, here's the deal. God knows all about me. In Psalm 139, verses 14 through 17, he says, God knows all about me. He knows all of my thoughts. He knows every part of me. He knows everything. And he says, here's the deal. God knows me, and his precious thoughts about me are incredible. They're innumerable. They're more in number than the sand. God loves me. Even though I've blown it. Even though I've totally messed up. Verse 9. Here's the magnitude of God's love. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous by his blood. While we were sinful, ungodly, weak, God sent his Son to die on the cross for us, and he said, look, here, I'm extending this to you. I'm going to wipe out. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to declare you as righteous when you take that step of faith and believe in me. He goes on further. He says, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So then we're saved from the wrath that is to come. I no longer carry the penalty for my sin because Jesus has taken my penalty when God's wrath was poured out on him on the cross. So he's already taken it for me. So then I am able to not see or partake of the wrath of God that is to come. Instead, God loves me. He sent his son. By faith, I trust and believe in him. And so therefore, all of that is taken care of. Isn't it nice when a person is driving reckless on the road and they run through a red light and they do all kinds of crazy things and it makes you angry? Isn't it nice? Doesn't it feel good when a police officer pulls them over and you get to see it? You with me? Aren't you like, ha, serves you right. God pulls us over, says you're guilty, and then says, but I'll pay for it if you let me. Oh, the love of God provides salvation, provides justification in verse 10 and 11. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We're enemies. We weren't just buddies that weren't like connected at all. We were enemies of him. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received reconciliation. We can rejoice in the relationship that we now have with God. That's reconciliation. Now, instead of us being separate, now we're together, we have a reconciled relationship, and we have this amazing opportunity to be with the creator of this universe. So what does this mean? He's giving a stronger connection in a relationship sense than a once-in-a-lifetime visit. I'll bet these guys that on the Villanova team, I'll bet they talk about this for the rest of their life. Their kids, their grandkids, and the whole bit. It doesn't matter whether they agree with the president or not. That doesn't mean anything. They got to go to the White House. They got to shake hands with the president of the United States. They're going to talk about that for years to come. And that's really cool that that happened. That's really special. And better than that, Jesus came, paid for the penalty of our sin so that we can be reconciled with him, not for a once-in-a-lifetime visit that we can talk about as something that happened back then, not for a lunch that we have occasionally with a special person that we can talk about and remember and kind of say, oh, that was a really nice time. It's not something that it's just weekend kind of custody that, okay, every now and again, once a week we get to hang out with. You see, here's the strong connection that God is giving to us. He loves us so much. The strong connection that he desires is that he wants to be with us on a moment-by-moment, daily basis. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that resonate with you? The God of this universe wants to be me. But doesn't he know what I've done? Doesn't he know what I've thought? Doesn't he know what I've said? Yep. He loves me beyond that. But I'm so weak. Yeah. He loves me beyond that. But I'm ungodly. He loves me beyond that. And he loves me so much that he's not looking for weekend visitation. He's not looking for an annual visit. He's not looking for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. What he's looking for is a moment-by-moment daily conversation, a daily connection that is so strong that it changes everything. It's so strong that we take and we allow him to pour into our lives tremendous hope. And we get to understand the hope that he has, the love that he has, the grace that he's poured out in us. And he just keeps filling us and filling us. And when circumstances don't go right, relationships don't go right, money doesn't go right, and all the different things that might not go on so well, all of that happens, we still trust in the love that the creator of this universe has for us. Whew. That's what gets you going. You see, that is real hope. Could you imagine a life that's overflowing like that? It's kind of surreal, isn't it? You might be down this morning looking to be filled up, and you're like, well, all I got today was God loves me. No, no, no. What you got today was God loves you. Even though you're miserable and self-centered and all this, and you're ungodly and you're weak and all this, here's what you got today. God loves you. So when somebody says, hey, what'd you do on Sunday morning? I went to church. What'd you learn about? Ah, we had a rerun. It was just a rerun. I heard that 1,000 times before. Matter of fact, I heard that from my grandmom when I was 4 years old. I remember when she told me that, and we had a rerun. But let me tell you what, with that rerun, I need that rerun every single day because my hope is at half the level. I'm half empty all the time. I'm 3/4 empty. I hardly have a drip in there. I'm parched with hopelessness. And here's what God wants to do. He wants to inspire and push and motivate us to understand how much He loves us. So what does it take? What does it take to live there? You ready? I want you to totally get this. Here's what it takes. This is so simple. Like I told you this is a rerun. You ready? Let's pour this back in. I'm going to do this one more time. You ready? So say you're almost empty. How do you get it filled up? Where do you place the cup? Ready? You're going to place it right here, where hope is being poured out. You're going to put yourself right there. You get it? That's so simple, isn't it? So how do you do that? Here's how. You build a strong connection with God that every moment of the day you're continuing to say, God, I need you. God, teach me. God, lead me. God, I'm going through a hard time and you know about this. God, this suffering that I'm going through, you're going to build patience and endurance into me. You have a plan for this, and so you're going to build some character and make a character that needs to go away and build some character. And God, you're going to do this, and so God, I got hope in you. While this relationship isn't going so well, while my paycheck, well, I wish I had a paycheck and it's not covering my bills, while all this is going on and I'm struggling, God, I'm allowing you to pour into me the love that you have for me so that I walk around overflowing with your hope. Now, here's the twist. Do you like twist endings? Okay, here's the twist. Here we go. What if this had nothing in it? What if it was a picture that looked like it would give you hope? And it doesn't. Do you know? Here's the twist. You ready? A lot of times, we put ourselves under a pitcher that's empty. And we say, come on, fill me up. I need some hope today. Fill me up. And that pitcher has nothing in it to give you hope. You sit in front of the television for 3 hours a day, and you're like, give me some hope. I want to feel better. I feel lousy about my day. And that television will give you no hope. You're like, well, let me watch Fox News or MSN or CNN, whatever all those stations are. And you're like, maybe that'll give me hope. It won't give you hope, I'm telling you. It's an empty picture, right? So, okay, well, I know, so I'll turn the TV off. Well, you turn the internet on. You'll look at Facebook. You'll look at your, whatever, Snapchat and all these other Twitter feeds and all this other stuff. And maybe this will make me feel better if I have people that kind of pat me on the back and they like this or they tweet about me or whatever they might do. And I get to feel better with all that. It's an empty picture. It's not going anywhere. You're putting your cup under something that will not give you the true hope that God wants to give to you. He loves you. He knew when you were messed up. He knew when you were ungodly. He knew all this about you. Don't put your cup under something that's an empty pitcher. That's like amen moment right there, right? That was good preaching. You with me? Come on now. That was good preaching. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, we get caught in a position where we're doing ungodly things, and we think that by doing ungodly things, it's going to produce hope. It's called addiction. We get addicted to all kinds of things. And some things God meant for good, and we turn around and make them into nasty, sinful things. They're ungodly. And oftentimes, as Christians, we put ourselves under the empty pictures around us that aren't going to give us fulfillment. And God allows for that to happen so that at the end of us sitting there, we sit there parched, and we try to get a bigger picture of the same thing, and we do more and more and more. Maybe this will make me feel better to get a bigger picture of the same thing, and it's just an empty picture. It doesn't matter how big the picture is. It's still empty. And God says, here I am over here. I am the living water. I want to pour into you my love for you through the power of the Holy Spirit and give you hope that changes everything. So that when you walk around in your life, no matter what you're going through, you walk around with hope overflowing. The glass isn't half empty anymore. It cannot be when He is your hope. It cannot be. So I said we'd go back to the very beginning. Do you remember what you wrote down in your notes? You might not want to look at this now, right? Oh, man, He made me feel guilty for the thing I was placing my hope in. No. Here's what I'm doing. I'm just pointing out that if you have empty pitchers that you're depending on, don't allow that. Go to the real source of hope. God loves you. Build that strong connection with Him. Let Him pour into you every single day so that today, just today, you know what I find? I find that I can't stay with it for too long with God. Like if I say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to build that strong connection. I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to pray for 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever, and I'm going to read my Bible for two, and then I'm going to, and I have all this regimen. I can do that for a day. But tomorrow, it's another story. Anybody with me? How many of you, let's just be honest. It's in church, we can be honest, right? Okay, so be honest with me. How many of you say, I'll never keep up with it, so therefore, why should I start? You ever say that? God nods, but we don't have the hands. I get it. I don't want it. All right. Yeah, I hate that. So here's something I encourage you to do. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Let's just work on today. Okay? Don't look at tomorrow, look at today. What is it today that God wants you to be doing to be strongly connected with Him today? Today's a Sabbath. Today's a day of rest. Today's the day that we relax, and we should be doing that. And so you're doing that by coming to church and learning about Him. And now you've learned, you've gotten this rerun message that God loves you, and you get to go home and you get to implement this. But here's what's going to be the temptation. We are going to go home to the empty pitchers. So we don't throw out all the empty pitchers because you can't throw out your kids. That's not healthy, right? Kids say amen, don't throw me out, right? You can't throw out your spouse. You can't throw out all the stuff. You can't do that. But what you can do is you don't rely on that to give you hope. You rely on God to give you hope so that you can be hope and blessing to others through Him that's pouring His hope into you. That's how it works out. And He will give you strength to do that today. I love what Jesus does when the disciples say, teach us how to pray. How do we do this thing? He says, okay, here's how you do it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven. Give us this day our what? Yeah, how much? Isn't this great? Give us our daily bread. Don't give us enough for the week. We've got a larger family, so we like to shop for a week or two sometimes. It lasts 2 days when we think we got 2 weeks worth of groceries. Anybody with me? Here's what God does. God says, give us our daily bread. That's it, just for today. Just concentrate on today. Would you build a strong connection with God today? That's it. So when you go home, instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to go around and hang out with all the empty pitchers, why don't you take some time and walk away from the empty pitchers and go to the pitcher that God has for you and build that strong connection. Take 15 minutes today, minimum, just 15 minutes, where you allow God to pour into you for 15 minutes. Can you do it? Are you with me? Could you honestly do this? Wouldn't that be cool? I'm not asking for tomorrow, but tomorrow's coming, right? So what do we do tomorrow? Just get up in the morning and say, God, today, because I don't have tomorrow. Give me my daily bread today. I need today, just today, I want to build a strong connection with you. Just today. Look, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be tough, but today's not, because God loves me. Would you let him pour into you? Build that strong connection. That's why we're doing the groups that we're doing. That's why we have church the way we have it. We're not into all the stuff and hoopla and all the other things we do. Here's what we're into. Very simple. We want to pour into you the love that God is pouring into us. We do that with each other. God is good. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you that you love us. Lord, thank you. We're weak, ungodly, sinful people that really only care about ourselves. So God, thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide us in it. Help us to build and keep that strong connection with you today, because you've provided it, you've extended it, and you're going to enable us to do that. And it's through Jesus I pray. Amen.